song that we're going to be singing later. It's the top of your insert there. I am saying thank you. Words are very simple. I am saying thank you. Thank you is my practice. It goes like this. I am saying thank you.
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 My name is Jessica Sievers. I'm a fellow member and also serve as secretary on the board. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Manhattan. Today we have a special multi-generational service for our annual Flower Communion, and I'd like to start by saying a few words by Thomas Rhodes. We come in a variety of colors, shapes, and sizes. Some of us grow in bunches. Some of us grow alone. Some of us are cupped inward, and some of us spread ourselves out wide. Some of us are old and dried and tougher than we appear. Some of us are still in bud. Some of us grow low to the ground. Some of us stretch up toward the sun. Some of us feel like weeds sometimes. Some of us carry seeds sometimes. Some of us are prickly sometimes. Some of us smell. Not sure if that was supposed to be a good thing or a bad thing. Anyway, but all of us are beautiful, and what a bouquet of people we are. Whether this is your first visit or 400th, you are welcome here. Unitarian Universalism strives to embrace and include all in a loving and caring community. At the same time, we try to create a world that is diverse, like all of our wildflowers, hospitable, joyous, and just. Wherever you have come from, whether it be Manhattan or New Mexico, whoever you are, whoever you love, whatever your journey has been, it has led you here, and we're glad to have you. I invite visitors and guests to sign our guest book at the welcome table in the narthex. On that form, you can request a complimentary subscription to our newsletter. I'll be available after this service to answer any questions you may have about our fellowship activities and programs, or about Unitarian Universalism in general. Please join us after the service for coffee and conversation in the ALSOP room, down the hall and to the left. In the spirit of community, let's take a moment to greet your neighbors. I'd like to draw your attention to the announcements that are in your order of service. Next week is the Bon Voyage party for the religious education students kicking off their annual summer world travelers adventures. Please do bring a dish to share. It will be a potluck after the service. That's next Sunday. And then you will notice Progressive Summerfest. This is a huge event that we will be hosting for our community. Get our name out there. We're also inviting several local community partners, such as those that we have assisted with our Helping Hands contributions. It's June 11th. That's a Saturday from 2 to 5. We're still looking for volunteers from our congregation to help with this event so that it runs smoothly and puts a good face out to our community. So Courtney Albin is right there. She's the gal to see to sign up. We need help with all kinds of things, not just physical activity type, but if you would like to sit in a chair and greet people, that's available too. Courtney also has a sign up for ordering t-shirts, UU t-shirts. Get excited. She needs those in by Wednesday, so if you don't get it today, she did send out an email so that you can order them online as well. After the service today, there will be a special nature hike around the grounds. You can meet Diane Barker in the upper parking lot just outside the Alsop doors. Following the service at 12:15, she's going to take us around our grounds, our beautiful facility, and show us some of the vegetation and flowers after the service. So next, Sue Prey will offer our chalice reading.
Thank you, Jessica. I'm Sue Prey. And since this is a thank you service, this is my first time for being part of the whole process of convening. And whoever's done it before, kudos. And or any part of the service or just being here, kudos. So thank you for your contributions. I'm going to share a tweet that resonated with me, a tweet by Jim Carrey from 2010. It says, "Flowers don't worry about how they're going to bloom. They just open up, turn toward the light, and that makes them beautiful." Jim Carrey, 2010. Okay, so now we're going to sing the opening hymn, 361 in the big book, "Enter, Rejoice, and Come In." And we ask that the young adults and children now bring in all the flowers everyone has brought this morning. Number 361.
So it's time for a story of all ages. No.
Nope. Special music today is what the kids do when we excuse and start class in the back. And you've all heard this before, and we invite you to stand and join us, kids. We're going to do our UUs and our seven principles song. If you want to find a parent or another adult out there or another kid to be your partner, and we'll all do it together, that would be great. Anytime. You want to go find a partner? Any partner at all? Anybody?
We need help, guys.
You can stand without a partner. Your partner can be the person next to you. It's okay. So on the insert, we start with what we call our UUs. This is a U and this is a U, or this is a U and this is a U. All right? Kids, who's going to start? Kaya, would you like to get us going here? We are the Church of the Unitarian Universalists. We are the Church of the Open Mind. We are the Church of the Helping Hands. We are the Church of the Warm Heart. And now our song, which I sound horribly flat, so we'll have Dick make sure we're on key, okay? this is sung to the tune of Do a Deer. So where do we start? C? Or C, or C, or C, or C, or C, or C, wherever you are. Each person is worthwhile to be kind in all you do.
Any other children or children at heart that would like to join me up front, we will do the story for all ages. He's five. Yeah. All right. So today I have Ordinary Mary's Extraordinary Deed. Does anybody know what a deed is?
No.
Any guesses? I know you know. Yes. Something good that people can do. Very good. So we're going to find out what Mary did. Yeah. Have you heard this story before?
No.
No? Okay. Ordinary Mary was so very ordinary that you'd never guess she could change the world. This ordinary kid, she did. She changed the world. Those are blueberries, aren't they? Yeah. One ordinary day, skipping on her way from her ordinary school to her ordinary house, she passed an ordinary vacant lot filled with ordinary bushes growing ordinary berries. Ordinary blue and juicy, luscious, lovely berries. Well, Ordinary Mary picked the ordinary berries and brought them in a big brown bowl to Mrs. Bishop's porch. What? Left berries in a big brown bowl on Mrs. Bishop's porch? That sneaky kid, she did. This made Mrs. Bishop very happy. So she baked a big batch of blueberry muffins and thought of five people who might have brought those beautiful berries, then secretly gave each a plate. How great! Five people got a plate. One of those five was her paper boy, Billy Parker. And when Billy saw his name on a note in the driveway on a plate, he quickly parked his bike and ate every crumb. Oh, yum, yum, yum. He ate every crumb. This made him so glad that the next five people got their papers on the porch and not in the bushes, where he often threw them. In fact, they were handed right to them. One of those five was Mr. Stevens, who was so amazed that he smiled for 10 hours on the airplane, then said to five different people who had heavy bags, "Here, let me help you." He still smiled, and they did too. One of those five was Maria, whose cranky little boy James stopped crying when Mr. Stevens played peekaboo with him until the ride came. When he waved goodbye, Maria exclaimed, "How strange that a stranger would be so sweet." And the next day, when she was out shopping, once, twice, five times, she did something nice for five different people, five times without stopping. One of those five was Joseph, old and bent and gray, in front of her in line at the produce stand. When he said, "I guess I counted wrong. I don't really need these oranges," little James reached out to him with an orange from their basket, and Maria put a coin in Joseph's hand and said, "Here, take this. The oranges are on us." As Joseph shuffled to the bus, his heart was full and his eyes were wet and his hands did helpful things for the next five people he met. One of those five was Sarah, a college girl who was off to see the world and stopped at Joseph's shop. When her bag broke and her things fell all over the floor, she said, "Oh, what will I do?" Joseph said, "This is for you," and he gave her a new bag woven with his own hands in red and purple and green. "Oh, thank you," she said. "It's the loveliest bag I've ever seen." When Sarah left, she felt sunny as noon, and she just had to shine on five people soon. One of those five was Sophia, whom she met on a boat, looking like the world might end, looking like someone without a friend. "What beautiful blue eyes you have," said Sarah, "and they're just the color of the flowers on your lovely dress." "Yes," said Sophia. "Oh, yes," said Sarah. The beautiful blue eyes shed a happy tear, and when the boat was through, Sophia called five people to make them happy too. Who do you think this could be? Maybe that's somebody that Sarah knows. One of those five was Tom, her son, the doctor, who was having a very hard day. "Hi," she said. "I love you, Tom." "Well, how great to hear from you," she said. "I always need my mom." Dr. Tom was so cheered up that on his next break, he bought a big bunch of bright balloons for five young patients, and he handed them out right then and there. One of those five was Peter, a little boy who went home from the hospital that very day. Gratitude for the big bunch of balloons filled him and thrilled him and spilled out of him and onto the next five people who came his way. One of those five was Eric, a teenage boy whose sacks and such were way too much. When one dropped on the sidewalk, Peter stopped his play and rushed right over, saying, "Super wheels to the rescue!" Well, Eric, no longer stressed, was very impressed and made a mental note that very afternoon to help how many people? Five, and do it soon. One of those five was Di, his 10-year-old sister, who didn't have many friends and was painfully shy. When Eric said, "Hey, sis, want to come to the park and learn how to ride my skateboard?" she looked at him wide-eyed. "Seriously?" she cried. "Sure," he said. And because of her brother, Di decided maybe she could have a friend to another five others. Has anybody here ridden on a skateboard? Yeah? Do you wear your helmet? One of those five was Louise, a homeless woman who lived under the trees. She could hardly believe her ears when she heard Di say, "May my brother and I buy you a hot dog and a drink at the stand over there?" Could it be true? Someone actually cared? Cared enough to give her food and a smiley-faced ring that was practically new? Louise was so pleased that she decided that even though she had nothing, she would find five others and give them something. One of those five was Mr. Taylor, who lost his wallet in the park. Louise found it full of fives and tens and twenties. Oh, what she could do with all that money! But she found his name and called us home, and over he came. He was so impressed that she was honest in spite of being poor, that he offered her a job in his store and vowed to do something generous for how many people? Five more. One of those five was Kate, a woman on vacation who wanted to see a show she had heard was a sensation. "Oh no," she cried, "it's sold out, but I'm going home tomorrow." And her face filled with sorrow. Mr. Taylor held out his ticket. "I live here," he said. "I can go any time. Take mine." Kate loved the show and was so touched that she thought buying five presents for five people back home would really be fun. And one of those five presents was a little heart necklace for Mary. Do we remember Mary? Is this the same Mary? Mary's her niece, and you should have seen her eyes light up in surprise. Look at all those people. Mary? What? Ordinary Mary? Yes. Ordinary Mary's extraordinary deed had come full circle, and on its way, it had changed the lives of every person living. You see, when Mrs. Bishop made muffins from Mary's blueberries, not only the paperboy, Billy Parker, but the other four people, too, made five people smile, and those five people did, too. And after a while, in only 15 days, love was sent to every person everywhere. Just see how it went. Look at those numbers. Does anybody know what number's on the bottom? 6 billion, et cetera. What's the biggest number you can think of?
I know.
Infinity. That's pretty good. Google Plus. Well, 6 billion is even more than all the people on the planet. So after everyone had a share and everybody knew that somebody cared, there was even love left over. The world was changed, and thousands and millions and billions agreed it was all because of one ordinary day. Ordinary Mary did a perfectly ordinary, stunningly earth-shattering, totally extraordinary deed. Now it is a time in our service that we share those significant joys and personal sorrows that we carry in our hearts and minds. As a community that cares for one another, we want to know about the significant events in one another's lives. By sharing heavy burdens, they are lightened. By sharing joys, they grow. Please raise your hand and wait for the microphone.
I have a joy to share. Flint Hills Wisdom Keepers was honored with a grant from the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation, and we're just very honored and grateful to be recognized in that way.
I have a joy that some of you know about from last week. I'm Pat Embers. Last week, I took a card around for those who knew Bernice Martin, who used to live here and be a member and was board chair and a friend to many of us. Today at 2 o'clock, she is going to be ordained as a UU minister in Norway, Maine. And that's when the ministers visit. They have a procession, and they're dressed in their gowns. And we are very, very happy for Bernice. And I sent her the card that we all signed last week and emailed her that it would hopefully get there in time, which it did, and she's very, very happy and thankful to you all for signing.
Well, it's a
third joy today. In February, I'm Jane Pelletier. In February, I shared with you a concern that my nephew had just had a very, very bad motorcycle accident and had broken 16 bones on the left side of his body, and I was very concerned at that time. He went back to work this week. He's doing great.
On Thursday, I pulled out my tooth.
I might share from my dad that his sister, Sandy, that lives in Great Bend, did get out of the hospital after complications from a routine procedure, and she is back home with her just-turned 14-year-old son and her husband, so just wanted to share that she is doing well. And if there are no others, we honor those joys and sorrows shared here today. For those left unspoken, we hold you in our hearts. Some words before our offering. I am only one, but I am still one. I cannot do everything, but I still can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do something that I can do. For the gifts which we have received and the gifts which we are ourselves, may we be truly grateful. And that spirit will now receive our offering.
Now a reading. I have a poem from William Wordsworth. It's about daffodils. Did anybody see a daffodil this spring? They're from bulbs and they pop up. Yes, I did. Okay, so it's called I Wandered Lonely as a Cloud. Now, there is one word in here that some of you may not know. It's called jocund. J-O-C-U-N-D, jocund. Can we all say that word now? Jocund. Good. Okay. And it means cheerful and lighthearted. So when you hear this word, I want you to raise your hand. Okay? So the word jocund. Okay. So again, a poem, I Wandered Lonely as a Cloud, about daffodils. I wandered lonely as a cloud that floats on high, or vales and hills, when all at once I saw a crowd, a host of golden daffodils. Can you almost smell them? Beside the lake, beneath the trees, fluttering and dancing in the breeze, continuous as the stars that shine and twinkle in the Milky Way, They stretched in never-ending line along the margin of a bay. 10,000, I saw at a glance, tossing their heads in sprightly dance. The waves beside them danced, but they outdid the sparkling waves in glee. A poet could not but be gay in such a jocund company. All right, you heard it. Thank you, good. And remember, it means cheerful and lighthearted. I gazed and gazed, but little thought what wealth the show to me had brought. For oft when on my couch I lie in vacant or in pensive mood, they flash upon that inward eye, which is the bliss of solitude, and then my heart fills with pleasure and dances with the daffodils. A poem by William Wordsworth, I Wandered Lonely as a Cloud. Thank you. And now Diane Barker is going to give our reflection, Spiritual Biology, Lifestyles of the Green and Flowering.
Doug, would you put the image up, please? Thank you. Well, it's just such a joy to be here with you this morning. I am Diane Barker, and I trained as a docent in 2006 out on Kansa Prairie. That meant that I also needed to become a member of the Kansas Native Plant Society because I wanted to know all of the plants. So what we're going to do, would maybe the kids, okay, can you all see the pictures? Because I want you all to be able to see them. Because we're going to take a little walk on the prairie. And that poem was so beautiful, and it reminded me that one of the things I love about plants is sort of our neurological connection. The reason I called my talk Spiritual Biology, Lifestyles of the Green and Flowering, is that my view is that we are plants. We just get to be the plants who express something. But we're totally dependent on them, aren't we? Think about the world all around the globe, from the bottom of the ocean where there are plants to the tops of the mountains, and even extending beyond that because plants give us our atmosphere, the oxygen that we need. We're constantly in relationship with plants. Today, as you take every mouthful of food, what are you eating? Who are you connecting with? Who are you being intimate with? The plants, whether you're eating meat or plant material, you're dependent upon the plants. And so I want you to just think about, if you ever go for a hike, what kinds of plants you see here in our ecosystem. Some of these words are kind of, they're bioregion, but it's where we live. And I'll tell you, we would not be here if it weren't for the grass. The grass holds the soil. The grass gives the forbs and the flowering plants a chance to be here. So we owe this debt to this green zone around the earth that gives us everything that we need. So I'd like you to take a look at the difference between these flowers up here on the table and these flowers in this little vase. Does anybody see any difference between those flowers? Yes. Okay, excellent observation. These are smaller. These live in a different region than those. Those are cultivated flowers, so people have taken care of them. These flowers are out on the ground, toughing it out. So we're going to go through a little slideshow, and when I take you on the walk, too, we'll be going up the hill to see what wildflowers are up there and blooming right now. And I just want to set up a little bit more. I want you to think about how the flowers represent sexual reproduction. Plants used to be just asexual, one plant. So you'd have a conifer. So the conifer reproduces. It's a conifer, a conifer, a conifer. We could have conifers blanketing the earth, but we couldn't have life other than conifers.
Okay, then these plants added the element of combining so we could have diversity, so we could have change, so plants could adapt. So they've given us this huge gift of diversity. Okay, so look at where they live. And this is where we live too, isn't it? This is our landscape. And this is the spring, you know, when you're always wondering, oh, when are the flowers going to show up? When are the daffodils going to show up? And you wait and you wait, and then there's like a grape hyacinth, and then there's a daffodil, and then it's all timing, too. The daffodils are gone now. Their time is over. They had to flower, reproduce, create seeds. They're gone. And the same thing happens in the prairie. So we're going to go through this succession where there's nothing, it's sere, it's dun-colored, there's no water, and then the plants start showing up. But as they show up, they have to flower, get seeds, they die down. And you'll see that the grass takes over and shade all of them out anyway. Okay, so we're starting with this ravine, and so will you go ahead, Doug, and start the slides? Water. So the water's come on. This is up Shane Creek on Konza Prairie. I notice there's some moss there. So the moss is going to always reproduce the same plant. Here's redbud coming on. That's some dogwood. Trees flower, and they have their pollen carried by the wind. So they're pollinated by the wind. I wanted you to see all the leaves in there. We had a big, big rain, and so all of those leaves have been flushed out now. So we're getting the sense that this is just a revolutionary landscape full of change. We have fire. The plants have fire to contend with. The heat stays basically on the surface, so the grass roots are under the surface, and so they can keep popping up. And actually, it stimulates growth. Here's one of my favorite, buffalo grass, and this is the male plant. It's male and female. When you see buffalo grass, you'll see a big mat that has these anthers there, and they're orange. Then look around, and you'll see another mat of buffalo grass. It's the female plant, and it doesn't have the anthers. And I have a couple of cards with those plants you can look at. Okay, so let's add animals, because animals get involved in the reproductive cycle. The bison carry seeds around. They also, as they walk through, they might be pollinators. This one is, of course, getting rid of the winter coat. Now, how many of you have seen this flower? It's blooming now. Okay, right. You notice it because of that brilliant color. It stands out. It grabs your attention. That's Missouri evening primrose. This is showy evening primrose, and they always have four petals, and they have a very complex structure. We won't go into a bunch of the biology. This is one of my favorite plants. This has a lot of names. Scurf pea is one, Indian breadroot. It has a little tiny root, and the Native Americans kept track of these patches because they dug those roots up. It was an important food source. Okay, this is blooming now. How many people have seen this? Cobaea penstemon. And look at how different that structure is. We've been seeing things with petals, and now all of a sudden that fuses the petals into a like a tube, and then it also has lips, an upper lip and a lower lip. And then it has sort of a landing guide for the insects to guide them in there so that they go in for the nectar. Now, how many people have seen this one? Yeah, a lot of people. Okay, so this is butterfly milkweed. And it's one of the milkweeds that monarchs like. Here's a monarch caterpillar. This was in my pasture, and that plant is not back this year. Butterfly milkweed disappears, and you know, it'll bloom, flower, and has those wonderful floating, they're like parachutes that carry seeds out. This is a variant color. It's still butterfly milkweed. But look at how the grass is starting to come up and cover it over. So now I think we're progressing through the summer. We've been through spring. Now it's summer. This is another milkweed. This is antelope horn. It's also called spider milkweed because there are these darling little crab-like spiders that like to live in the blossoms. This one is not on Kanza, but it is a prairie milkweed. It's swamp milkweed, but I think the structure of this blossom is just incredible. It's so ornate, kind of rococo. Here's blue grama. It's a very good source for nutrition for cattle, and it has green anthers. It's a that, whoops, and so now we have a bird, yes, and that is a house wren. And that little wren needs that tree to find insects. This is our orchid, one of our orchids. We actually have prairie orchids, and this is lady's slipper. Lady's tresses, some of the names. This is purple clover, and I think that is hairy grama that surrounds it. But see how the grass is coming up taller now? We're getting into the later summer, and these things are going to be covered over. This is pitcher sage. It's in the mint family, but that to me is just the most exotic blue in the world. It's like the sky brought down on the earth. Okay, and this is the hairy, and it has what's called a little spicule, so the anthers are orange, and then it also has that little identifying barb out the end, and that's how you tell the difference. This is a good demonstration of how photosynthesis happens for a lot of plants in their stem. Their leaves are so tiny. This is grooved flax, and this should be coming on pretty soon. Now we're getting into late summer, fall, and the gay feathers. And look at the difference in this structure as far as it has little tufts, all these little tufts, but yet it's a flower. It has to do the same process and put on seeds. I put this one in there just to see, just to show how there's such a jumble of things. There's gay feather, there's an old abandoned animal den. And so monarch on pitcher sage. It's getting nectar and it's pollinating. You know, it gets a payoff, but it also has to do some work. It doesn't know it's doing it. This is an anemone, and I put that in there even though it's out of focus because it's such a good example of the color combinations that you get. These plants are tiny, but they usually put like blue and yellow or orange and purple, things that really pop, that catch your attention. This is, of course, the big turkey foot, big blue stem. This is called world milkweed. And it means whirl for how it spins around. And the shininess is part of the protection for the plant. So it works like a sunscreen. They also have a lot of hairs on them, and that's also sunscreen. So here we have giant gay feather, and this actually came from the Plant Materials Center. This is not on Kanza Prairie. And a tiger swallowtail. Wanted to put the insects that are so much apart. You can't separate anything in nature. We know that. You tug on one thing and it's connected to everything. And so here we have the end of the season, and you don't see any forbs now. The grass is really going to cover everything over because it gets so tall. And if it's 10 feet tall, the roots are down 10 feet. So here we have winter coming on, and the turkeys are going into the cedar woods, but they're going to eventually get to where the oaks are and eat acorns. Okay, so that's our little excursion into our flower land. Now will you join me in hymn number 305, De Couleur, and stand as you are able.
y'all can find a seat wherever you want to. So, consider the lilies of the field. I think we just did. They neither toil nor spin, but Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as beautifully as these. That's what Jesus said in the well-known Sermon on the Mount. And we have the chance to consider the flowers this morning as Diane shared her words and wonderful images with us. And as we found flowers to bring with us and put into all these vases, and even this one here, every flower has its place in the bouquet, its relationship with all the other flowers, short ones in the shadow of tall ones, colors of one flower bringing out the hues of others. They interact as we view them together. And even more important, in the natural world, each flower has its niche. Each has its home, growing in particular kind of soil that it likes, sandy or rocky or clay, the particular kind of moisture it likes, boggy or dry or somewhere in between, the particular kind of sunlight it likes, like lots and lots of sun or deep, deep shade. It's more than that, though. Each flower has its special relationship with the animals and other plants around it. And maybe it likes to grow in the shade of a particular tree. Maybe it needs bees for pollination. Maybe its seeds depend on animals to eat them to spread the seeds. And maybe the seeds get hung up on the fur of the bison or the bunnies and they need those to scatter them around. Each plant fits perfectly in its niche. No other flower would fit there like that one. So we're in the middle of this ritual, the flower communion or flower celebration that's shared among many UU congregations across the continent and even around the world. In fact, this ceremony began all the way around the world in Prague, in what is now known as the Czech Republic. And the area has many names, including Bohemia and Czechoslovakia. A man named Norbert Čapek came from there. He grew up Roman Catholic, but left that church to become a Baptist evangelist, spreading the gospel. And he wasn't always a good Baptist, and sometimes church officials frowned on what he taught. So he left and came to the U.S. for more education, and here he continued his ministry, but twice Baptist church put him on trial for heresy. The officials thought that what he was preaching and teaching was wrong. He had no choice but to resign. Fortunately, though, he found the Unitarian Church, which he fully embraced, completed his theological education, and in 1921, with his wife Maya, took his new Unitarian faith back to Czechoslovakia with him. He and Maya founded the Liberal Religious Fellowship in Prague. And Čapek realized that the people in his congregation no longer wanted the rituals of the Catholic Church that they had set aside, like the sharing of bread and wine that churches, that Christian churches call by different names, Mass, Eucharist, Lord's Supper, Communion. And in that way, I think the Czech Unitarians were a lot like some of us, not wanting some of the old rituals that we have had, that we had in a former life. Still, though, like us, they needed something to bring them together and act out the wordless connections that they shared. And the word communion captures that, that deeper meaning of participating together, acting together, admitting how we are interrelated. And so it's about doing something together that acts out our meaning rather than just talking about it. So Čapek created the flower communion or flower celebration, asking each of the members of the church to bring a flower, like we did this morning, which they gathered together, as we have, and he saw the flowers together as symbol of the gathered congregation. The significance of the flower communion is that no two flowers are alike, and so no two people are alike. Yet each has a contribution to make. Together, the different flowers make a beautiful bouquet. Our common bouquet would not be the same without the unique addition of each individual. And that's the way it is with our community. It would not be the same our fellowship without each and every one of us. And that statement is a statement of our community. So all together, we're a beautiful bouquet. Imagine for a moment that you are a flower. What kind of flower would you be? What color? What shape? Maybe it's one of the ones that Diane showed us earlier. Maybe it's one like one up here. And now think about the people around you, those you know and those you don't know. Do more than think about them. Look at them. Look at the people around you. Now think about them like the bouquets of flowers up here. Just like the flowers, each one of us has a niche, a place to be in the world. We're not only different shapes and sizes and colors, we also have different talents and interests and ideas. For us, it's not about soil and sunlight, except symbolically. Each of us does need special things to grow at our best and become the most beautiful flower we can be. And also, each of us is in relation to the others in the vase, in the gathering. And we try to bring out the best in one another, to work together in positive ways and create something better by being together than we ever would produce alone. Jessica's story this morning told us about people doing exactly that, their little piece in the bigger world. And in a few minutes, we'll be thanking one another for doing that here in our fellowship. First, listen to the blessing of the flowers as I've adapted it from Norbert Chapek. Infinite spirit of life. We know these flowers, these messengers of fellowship and love, are blessed. May they remind us of mid diversities of knowledge and gifts to be... May they remind us amid diversities of knowledge and of gifts to be one in desire and affection and devotion to the good. May they remind us of the value of doing and sharing alike. May we cherish friendship as one of our most precious gifts. May we not let awareness of another's talents discourage us or sully our relationship, but may we realize that whatever we do, great or small, the efforts of all of us are needed to do the work of love and justice in the world. Now, I have to tell you that Chapek's story did not have a happy ending. The Nazis invaded Prague, and he was arrested and eventually died in the Dachau concentration camp. But his words and his flower community that he gave us last as his legacy. So we gather the flowers, some grown by people for their beauty and others that grow wildly determined to sacrifice themselves to create new generations of flowers. We wonder at the beauty, but also at the short lives they live. We wonder at the way they fit so perfectly in their niche. We are like the flowers. We each bring our particular gifts and we offer them freely to one another here. Let us be thankful for all those offerings. And I want to invite Sandy to offer a special thank you for our teachers.
Teachers clearly hold a special place in my heart because they make my job easy. They are unique and sharing, and there's just too many words. I can't even get them all out of my mouth on how wonderful all our teachers are. And I think it's interesting that we're going to thank the teachers today, and several of them are actually not here because they didn't have to have class today. And Megan's in Mexico with her family, and Larry's in Tennessee, and Molly's in Hutchinson visiting family, and, you know, we thank them for, and Matt is here, Matt and I are here, but we thank them for giving their time so much. Molly teaches the seventh grade and up. Matt Sayer does third grade through sixth grade. Larry has done kindergarten through second grade, and I don't want to leave anyone out, but special kudos to Larry because he stepped in as teacher this year. Kathleen Oldfather was going to be that teacher in that class, and Larry got dragged, frankly, out of retirement and came and did that class. So we're very thankful for him. I've been teaching the pre-K class, and Megan, our nursery care provider, does the nursery. Other teachers that we have had include our OWL teachers, our Whole Lives teachers. This year we did K-1 curriculum, and Courtney Albin and Amy Fowler were the teachers for that class, and we thank them, and we'll have them all stand in a minute here. But there are other teachers who gave their time, not the whole year or the months, weeks at a time like those teachers, but they still gave their time. And the last summer we had Bryce Hobrock, who did a tour of Australia during the summer for the kids, Lily Colburn, who did a tour of Istanbul, Kristen Corwin and Brian Washburn, who did a tour of the International Year of Light, Tom and Montamani, who did a tour of their own home, the yards and all of the fabulous things with a bee update last summer, and Ellie Sayer, who did a tour of physics fun and pH play. Molly, again, did a tour of Who's Who at UU, which you all participated in. Thank you. Susan Adamczyk did a tour of many countries within the African continent. Dan Swenson and Larry Weaver helped with canoeing at Pillsbury Crossing. And Elka Lorenz did Germany, which I hope she'll do again this year. And Dan Swenson again did another one on kites. Do you guys remember, the kids remember making kites last summer? We had Dan help us with that, and Jessica Long took us all to Ecuador last summer. So there have been a lot of teachers. If I named you, could you please stand and be recognized? Lily Colburn is one. Let's stay standing. And parents could help kids. There's a reading in here that we'd like to do, officially thanking these wonderful individuals who have volunteered their time day in and day out. Let's see them. Come on, Bryce. it's the insert here, and we'll start with parents. So if you're a parent, and parents can help your kids when we come to the children's part, please. Parents, teachers, we gratefully thank you for sharing your wisdom, your time, and your love with our children. Our lives are better for it. Children, teachers, our lives are better for it.
Teachers, we thank you for sharing yourselves with our children and youth.
Our lives are better for it. Parents, we thank you for entrusting your children to us. Children and youth, we too are grateful for your sharing of your lives with us. Our world is better for it.
Okay, and so while we're in the thank you mood, we'll go back to the little song that Dick taught us, and let's sing one round of it first, thinking about our teachers. I am saying thank you. I am saying thank you. I am saying thank you. Thank you is my practice. I think I did that okay. Did I do that okay?
We changed key.
Okay. Well, maybe you'll help me this next time, okay? All right, since we're in a Sunday service, I'd like to recognize what it takes for that to happen. So please stand or raise your hand or something as I name these various functions, and remain standing or with raised hand until I've listed these functions. And then we'll sing another chorus of I'm Saying Thank You. So anyone who's been a convener this year, a speaker, musical presenters, music committee, choir members, AV people and assistants, greeting teams. All right, help me, Dick. Next time we do that, we're going to do it in a different key. All right, you can sit down. I'd like to recognize the people here who are not members. Anybody who is a visitor or a guest or not a member, please stand or raise your hand. Now, we want to thank you because without newcomers, we can become too focused on ourselves alone. We can forget that we're about something bigger than our own tiny lives, and we need you because you keep us fresh and alive. So, let's sing thank you to them.
In a lower key.
In a lower key. I am saying thank you. I am saying thank you. I am saying thank you. All right, great. Now, leaders in our fellowship, we need leaders or we would be chaotic. We need someone to take charge to make sure that what needs to happen does happen. It's not always easy to make that extra effort to attend meetings and to plan. And sometimes we wonder if it's worth it. This morning, we all say, it is worth it. We are grateful. So please stand or raise your hand if you are a member of the board, a chair of a committee, or a member of the strategic planning committee, because I think they're all leaders. All right, let's sing.
I am saying thank you. I am saying thank you.
Okay, please be seated. Then we have the people, those who take care of us, who nurture us, who do the in-reach in our fellowship. Please stand or raise your hand if you have served on the nominating committee, people who have served on caring committee, social committee, or membership committee, people who have prepared or provided food for us. People who have offered support to others, calls or cards or visits. Wonderful.
Is that the right? Thank you. I am saying thank you. I am saying thank you. Thank you is our practice.
Okay, please be seated. Now, our justice people, the outreach folks, working to live out our values in the world and change the world in ways we want to see it. So please raise your hand or stand if you've served as Happy Kitchen Team members, Social Action Committee members, people who showed up for some social action cause like at City Commission or Gay Pride Parade or Beloved Community or anything else whose values we support. People who have contributed to Helping Hands or brought food or clothing or toiletries or other things that we've asked for. All right.
I am saying thank you. I am saying thank you. I am saying thank you. Thank you is my pride.
Okay. Then there are the people who care for our organization, the nuts and bolts people stewarding our property and resources, people who've been on building or grounds committees, building, grounds, people who have helped with the building or grounds, showing up at a work day, doing cleaning or repairs, people who have helped with our finances, counting money, serving on the finance committee, and people who have served on any other committee that I've forgotten to mention. All right.
I am saying thank you. I am saying thank you. I am saying thank you. Thank you is my pride.
Finally, one more group of people I want to thank, our children and youth. Stand, raise your hands, whatever. You are not only our future, you are our present. You remind us of the value of this day, of this moment, and our need to be better people in order to create a better world for you. So,
I am saying thank you. I am saying thank you. I am saying thank you. Thank you is my practice.
And now I'm going to invite the children and you to come forward, because during our final hymn, you're going to be taking the flowers back out and you're going to be holding them out there while everybody goes by and takes a flower as they leave, because that's the end of our flower ceremony, right? We get to all take a flower that you didn't bring. And even if you didn't bring a flower, take a flower, because I'm sure there are extras. We can even take these if we need to. Following the closing words, I'll remind you, Diane's going to be out in the upper parking lot to lead a little hike, pointing out flowers out there, and we will gather in the Alsup room for coffee and conversation. Our closing hymn is number 78. I invite you to stand as willing and able.
Just the first four verses.
Just the first four verses, right. We really don't need to do six verses. Sarton, help us to be the always hopeful gardeners of the Spirit, who know that without darkness, nothing comes to birth, as without light, nothing flowers. Go in peace, return in love.